Krisus, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, 1-1. So, as I said in the introduction, the topic of the whole Masechta are various karbanos that are brought. We're going to talk about the Chatas, the Asham, and other concluding offerings that are brought from Mechusei Kapar and the like. So the first topic is the Chatas. And the Chatas Kavua, the fixed Chatas, meaning the generic Chatas, the female goat or sheep that's brought, is brought when a person does an Avera, which is a lav from the Torah that involves some action. The Torah carries the penalty of kares, as it is described before in the introduction, sort of divine excision, whatever that means exactly, for acting willfully, bemazed. If he does the act b'shogeg, instead of being obligated to subject to kares, he'll have to bring a korban chatas, a chatas kavua, this chatas offering. So, since the next mission number two of the parak, will basically say, if you do any of those averas, which the penalty is kares, if you act intentionally, if you do it b'shogeg unintentionally, then you'll bring instead a chata. So we're going to basically, in this Mishnah, list out all the various averas for which the penalty is kares for one who acts willfully. Now, the Mishnah will start by saying shloshim v'sheish kresus b'torah. There are 36 different mitzvahs for which there is a penalty of kares in the Torah. As I said in the introduction, actually, if you count them all, like in the Rambam's code, you'll get to 48. So there's really 12 missing. Those are like sort of included in, is like sort of kind of like subordinated into these list of 36, identifies it, go along some of that. In any case, our Mishnah here basically is going to be comprised of, I'll call it two sublists, list A and list B. List A deals with the forbidden sexual unions, the arayos, and list B deals with the other prohibitions. As it works out here in our list here of 36, so the first 15 will be arayos, forbidden unions, and then the balance will be the other averas that one gets karas for if he acts intentionally. The order of each of these lists, list A and list B, are basically from most severe to least severe. Because although if one acts intentionally, he gets karas for all of these, if he acts intentionally with Edim and Hasra, the requisite witnesses and warning, so the Bezim will administer a punishment, which will then be in the place of getting karas, but the punishment could be execution, and there are different ways in which one is executed, and that could be different ways subject here in the Mishnah. We have skila, stoning, we have sreifa, burning, we have chenek, which is strangulation. Also we have malchus, conventional lashes, d'oraisa, the third nine lashes, and even for some of these averas, if one acts even intentionally with witnesses, there still will be no corporal punishment or one down here on planet Earth in the Bezdin at all. Okay? So, essentially, the first list then is going to be these 15 arayos. The first six of them are going to be the most severe. These are the ones that carry the penalty of skila, of stoning, if one does it intentionally with witnesses and warning. So those first six are as follows. It says the Mishnah, Haba'al Ha'em, one who sleeps with his mother. Now again, we're talking here about one who acts, but with all of these, he acts willfully, meaning he knows it's his mother, he knows it's forbidden, but he sleeps there anyways, okay? And when that happens, so then both he and his mother, assuming both parties acted intentionally, they both were mazed, and therefore they're both subject to kares. Our mission just focuses on like the man half of the equation, but in every union, there'll be two people, and therefore both people are subject to the same punishment, again, assuming they acted intentionally. Meaning, if you have the sort of the Oedipus story where a man doesn't know that this woman is his mother, and he marries her, and then it turns out, lo and behold, oh, it's his mother, so that would be a shogeg, and therefore, instead of karas, he would have to bring a chatas. Okay? Secondly, we have val'eshes ha'av, that means one's father's wife, that of course could be one's mother, but also could be his stepmother. Val'hakala, one's daughter-in-law, meaning his son's wife. Va'bala zachor, a man who sleeps with a man. Vala behema, a man who sleeps with an animal. Va'isha ha'meviya esa behema lea, and a woman who sleeps with an animal. So those six are the most severe of the arayos. All those carry the penalty of skila, of stoning, if they are done, you know, with proper warning and witnesses. And like all of them, karas, if you do it without that, intentionally. Now, after the first six, we have the lesser, less severe, terrible things. We have habala isha vita, one who essentially sleeps with a woman and her daughter. Okay, now this needs some explanation. First of all, so the basic case would be essentially, you know, something like one's wife and also his stepdaughter, her daughter, or for that matter, one's wife and her mother, his mother-in-law. Okay, but the truth is, although the Mishnah says a woman and her daughter, so the Gemara ends up saying this includes nine separate women, so we're going to have like not just one, but nine, that's an extra eight towards the total of 48 we're going to get eventually. So who are those nine women? So says the Gemara, we have as follows. We have Bas Ishto, so we'll call that essentially his daughter or his stepdaughter, if it's, you know, his wife's daughter, either way. Bas Ishto, his granddaughter, meaning his wife's daughter's daughter, whether it's his own granddaughter or step-granddaughter. Bas Ben Ishto, his granddaughter, but it's his wife's son's daughter. Again, stepdaughter, step-granddaughter, or his own biological granddaughter. Chamoso, his wife's mother, his mother-in-law. Aim Chamoso, his wife's mother's mother, meaning his, like, I'll call his grandmother-in-law, from his, like, his wife's maternal grandmother. And Aim Chamav, his wife's father's mother, meaning his wife's paternal grandmother. Then we have Bito, his own daughter. But now, this is a little different. This is talking about a woman who, if, although normally we're talking about one's wife and then her, you know, her daughter or granddaughter or mother or grandmother. But in addition to that, there's one additional thing, which is if it's not his wife, but he has a child with a woman and he sleeps with her, so it's both his, like his own, his wife and his daughter, okay? Even if they're not married, so it's not his wife anymore, just a woman with whom he slept and her daughter. So that also is a separate, it's not his wife's daughter, just a woman who slept with his child, who's his daughter, also on the list. And then you have Bas Bito, essentially his granddaughter through his daughter, and Bas Beno, his granddaughter through his son. So those nine are all included in this list, this category of Habal Isho Vito. And the penalty for that, if one acted intentionally with the witnesses and the warning, would be Srefa, okay, for both of them, not Skila. So we're going one step down. Well, Ashes Ish, now conventional adultery, so one who sleeps with a married woman, again, intentionally Karis. If he would do it willfully, so then the penalty is Chenek, which is like strangulation. That's a step down again. And again, this mission is not concerned at all with the penalties in the Bezdin. That's not the point at all. Just the ordering of the Averas is sort of a decreasing order of severity, and that's indicated by the fact that what the punishment is in the Bezdin. Okay? Then the rest of the list here, we're going to have, so far we've listed eight, so we're going to have seven more. These are also Karis if one acts intentionally, but if one does it with witnesses and warning, instead of execution, he will get lashes, generic lashes, Malkus, and the Malkus then will be in the place of Karis. So what are those seven more Chiv Karis for the penalty is their Arias, forbidden unions, which the penalty is Malkus lashes. So we have as follows. Habal Achoso, he sleeps with his sister. Bal Achos Aviv, his father's sister, meaning his aunt through his father. Va'al Achos Imo, his mother's sister, meaning his aunt through his mother. Va'al Achos Ishto, his wife's sister. That's in English one way to have a sister-in-law, one's wife's sister. And also Va'al Eshes Achiv, his brother's wife, which is another way in English for saying sister-in-law, right? In English, unfortunately, the word aunt can mean both directions, the word sister-in-law can mean both directions, and we have all those. Val Eshes Achi Aviv, and also his father's brother's wife. In other words, again, essentially we're talking about his aunt through marriage, okay? His father's brother's wife. And finally, the 15th is Val Hanida. This would be even one's own wife. If the woman is Nida Doraisa, so then sleeping with her is an Isser Kares. If one does it, bemazed. Fine. Okay, so that's the first 15, and that's a kind of list A. Now we go to list B. List B are the other prohibitions, which the penalty is Karis if one acts willfully, but if he does it, if he does it unintentionally, then he'll be a Chayav Achatas, and generally, as far as what the penalty is, if he has Edim and Hasra, witnesses and warning, so again, this list B, the second part, back in goes to the most severe, and then goes down from there. So the first numbers, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20 are again going to be chayav skila, stoning. So these are the worst, again, the worst, the worst. So if you're looking with the list of the worst averes in the Torah altogether, you have the six that we said up to now, the various ariases with, you know, mother and so on. And now we have a megadef. Megadef is the blasphemer. This is a person who essentially invokes Hashem's name, and he is what's euphemistically says blesses Hashem with his own name, but it means that he actually, he curses Hashem with Hashem's own name, God forbid. So that is the Megadef, and that's, again, from the worst. The Megadef, lahalacha, so he certainly gets skila if he has witnesses, and he, if he doesn't have witnesses, he gets cursed. If he acts, he does a b'shogeg, or whatever that scenario would be, so then, in fact, he does not bring a chatas. That'll be exceptional. We'll see in the next Mishnah explicitly because there's no ma'aseh, no action. Then you have ha'ovad avodah zarah, one who serves idols. This would be either serving the idol in the way the idol is worshipped. So if the idol has a peculiar way of being worshipped, you're talking about throwing rocks at Merkulis. That's how you worship Merkulis, or, you know, pooping on Baal Peor and you poop on it. Those would be, we're talking about those averes. So again, if you do it intentionally, then chayav karis. You didn't know you weren't supposed to poop on it, or you would throw rocks, whatever, then that would be a shogeg, and you would bring the chatas instead. But if you did intentionally with witness and warning, skila. It's equally true if you serve an idol in one of the four ways that are the way we serve Hashem. So that means you're zoveach, you do an animal sacrifice, you're maktir, you burn up something, whether it's incense or animal, like burning it to the idol. You're menasech, you like pour a libation, like a wine libation, or hishtachava, you prostrate yourself like flat on the ground to this idol. Those four things also, same thing, chiyav karas, and if Bezdin carries out the punishment, it'd be skila. Then you have v'hanosen mizaro lamolech. So according to our Tana here, this refers to what literally means one who gives over his offspring to Molech. Now, Molech was a Canaanite, according to this Tana, just like a Canaanite, I don't know what the word is, icon. Okay? And it's this is not a avodah zarah per se, it's a Canaanite occult ritual, where one takes one or more of his children, and all of them, essentially he gives it to the priest, the Molech priest, and then takes his child back, and then walks like kind of through the fire with the child. Very possibly the child, according to most, the child isn't even dying. The child's not, you're not killing the child, you're just carrying through the fire, purely symbolic occult Canaanite ritual. And the Torah prohibits this under penalty of karis to participate. Again, if one has witnesses in mourning, he'd get skila. Then you have Uval Ov. The Baal Ov is the necromancer. That means a person essentially who invokes spirits that are dead. He converses with them. The Ov essentially brings, like, say, a skull under his armpit. And from under his armpit, the voice comes of the, you know, the deceased, the spirit. Not mentioned here, but included in the same pasuk is the Yedoni. Yedoni is similar to necromancer, meaning consulting the dead, getting messages from the dead. But here it's kind of the voice comes from within his mouth. He puts like a bone in his mouth, and from the bone out of his mouth comes the voice. Although the mission just says Ov, it's Ov and Yedoni are two separate chiyav ikaris. Again, the penalty for those are both our skila, stoning, in the event that there was witnesses and warning. And finally, Hamachalel es haShabbos, one who desecrates Shabbos. So we're talking doing any of the 39 malachas, whether we're talking about an av malacha or we're talking about a tolda of the malacha. If one does it intentionally, the penalty is karis. If one does it not knowing a Shabbos, or that's usher, the penalty is to bring, it's a shogeg, and he brings a chatas. If he does it intentionally with witnesses and warning, again, we're talking skila. Let me just clarify. So we are, yes, including the toldos. Toldos are not derabanan, but we're not including derabanans, of course, right? So one who, the zoreya is to plant seeds. If one plants a sapling, that's just a tia, that's just a tolda, but just told us to is the raisa. So one who plants a sapling is equally, one who plants a seed, liable to all the above. If one does an isra durabun, however, so then we're just talking about it's a durabun. That's definitely not applicable over here to any chorus. Okay. So those are the most severe, and those ones had skila. Now the rest of the list here, which that we had 20 so far, so we have 16 more to go, and these are all going to be averes for which the penalty is karis if you act intentionally, and if you act with witnesses of warning, you're only going to get lashes. Okay, not worse than that. So that's the last 16 are less severe. Here they are. The first is v'tamei she'achal es ha'kodesh, a tamei person who eats kadshim, right? Like a korban pesach, or if it's a kohen and he eats whatever he is, he eats an oshlamim or something like that. So then that Karis, if he does intentionally, and Vahaba Lemikdash Tame, one who enters the temple precinct, the Zara, when he's Tame. Again, the penalty is Karis for those two. Now, these two are also exceptional. We'll see in the next Mishnah, as much as if one does them accidentally, so then he only brings an Ola V'Yored, the variable Chatas, not the Chatas Kvua, the fixed Chatas. And because of that, there's a less severe. We'll see more about that in the next Mishnah, Bez Hashem. Then you have Ha'ochel Chelev, one who eats Chelev, the forbidden fats, like basically abdominal fats that sort of peel off the organs, so that Chelev is forbidden from the Torah under penalty of Karas. The Dam is blood itself. Don't get nervous, by the way, people get nervous all the time. If you have a nice rare steak and it's got juicy red juice coming out of it, that's not blood, okay? Necessarily, if you did it properly, kosher steak's not blood. That's called myoglobin. It's a different thing altogether, and it's certainly halachically not blood. But if one would eat blood, then he's subject to karis also, or malchus. Nosar leftover sacrificial parts. Remember, every korban, whether it's a zevach or a mincha, there's like a set time, 1 or 2 days, and then after that, it can't be eaten anymore. It becomes, once it's past the deadline, lina, it becomes what's called nosar, leftovers, and the nosar leftover korbanos stuff must be burned. It can't be eaten. One who eats a gezais of nosar is chayv karis, feels intentionally. And finally, piggle. Piggle is a very technical thing. When a person is performing one of the avodas in Beis Hamikdash for a korban, a zevach, here's one of the four essential blood avodas. That means the shechita, the slaughtering, the kabbalah, the receiving the blood, the holacha, the bringing the blood to the altar, or the zrika, the application of the blood to the altar. If during any of those four stages, he just has even the thought for a moment that he's going to do either A, offer the blood, or B, offer the emurim, the sacrificial parts, or C, eat the meat, outside of the proper time, and that's essentially the point of the improper time, chitlazmano, so then that thought alone renders the korban invalid. It's mifagelet, it creates piggle, and at that point the korban must be essentially, you have to burn it, and if you eat a kazais of that piggle korban, the penalty is karasud intentionally. And similarly applies also to benachos, by the way, but as appropriate, as appropriate. Then you have hashochet v'hamala b'chutz. These are two separate things, meaning if you're shochet b'chutz, you have a sacrifice, and you offer it outside of the temple precincts, outside the Azara. That is called shochet b'chutz, slaughtering outside of the complex, the Azara, which is applicable for a long time since Jerusalem has been, operational as the source, as the place for the Beis HaMikdash. And also v'hamala b'chutz, which is one who offers outside of the Azara. So either slaughters or offers. Either of those two acts, if it does intentionally, is chayv karis. And with witness in the morning, malchus. Ha'ochel chametz b'pesach, one who eats chametz on Pesach, because eyes of chametz on Pesach carries a penalty of karis also, I think well known to us. Va'ochel va'osa malacha b'yom ha'kippurim. These are two separate things also. Either A, eats on Yom Kippur. The requisite amount here is more than a kazayit. It's a little more than that, enough to stave away the inui. Because the pasuk, unlike the other psukim, which are sort of very explicit in the law, this is more a little bit inferred. Ki kol ha'nefesh asher loy su'uneh be'etzem ha'yom hazeh v'nichrasa me'ameha. V'nichrasa me'ameha. It will be the person who doesn't afflict himself in Yom Kippur, he gets Paris. So it's understood that lacking, here our Tana learns it means specifically eating or drinking. Meaning that the other four inuim, the prohibition of washing, anointing, wearing leather shoes, and tash shmita, marital relations, those prohibitions are not carrying the penalty of karas, whether they're derisa or derabanan, but they're not karas, that's for sure, according to this Tana here. And then you have also doing malach on Yom Kippur, may not do, like on Shabbos, one who does it is Chayav Karas. Then you have HaMefatem Es HaShemen. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he set up the Mishkan originally, he prepared the Shemen HaMishcha, the anointing oil, which was like a one-time process. And then miraculously that oil persisted throughout, certainly by its Rishon time, to be used as needed for anointing Kohen Gadol and the like. So one may not prepare that oil. It's a one-time thing. If one is mifatem, prepares, you know, infuses that oil. So then the penalty just for making the oil alone would be karas. And also the hamefatem es haketoras, one who prepares the incense recipe, those 11 spices that go together to make the incense that's used in the, you know, daily in the Beis HaMikdash, twice a day, who prepares that recipe for the sake of smelling it on his own, just enjoy the smell in his, you know, own home, whatever it is. Again, chiyav karas. And if with witnesses and warning, malchus. The hasach b'shemen hamishcha, one who anoints himself with the anointing oil from the Beis HaMikdash. That also, chiv karas, to be nice intentionally. There are some people who do get anointed with the oil, I should point out. The Kohen Gadol, every new Kohen Gadol gets a sort of the oil applied to his head in the shape of a key or a kai. What that means exactly is a machlokas. Rambam learns it's like an X shape, you know, X on his head with oil. There are other pshatim, what the shape is. The kings, Malachim, David HaMelech and his descendants, if his descendants are like in this facing a dispute over who gets to be the next king, as was the case, for example, Shlomo HaMelech, then they are also anointed with oil. But there, instead of making like sort of X on the head, you get like a, like, it's like a ring around the forehead, like a crown shape of the oil. Okay. And so those are the 36, those are the 34 so far. The last two are not lav and their mitzvahs ase, they're positive commandments, for which therefore there's definitely no chatas if he does it b'shogeg, because it's not doing anything. And those are ha-pesach v'hamila, the mitzvahs ase. If one elects not to participate in the korban pesach, so then there's a penalty of karas for that, if he acts willfully. But again, if even with witnesses and warning, there's no malchus and because of the mitzvahs ase. And similarly, mila. Every Jewish man, as you know, is supposed to get circumcised. If he elects not to get circumcised, so then the penalty ultimately would be karas, like, again, as a mitzvah ase. But if he fails to do it for whatever reason, he's not going to be chayav any penalty of malchus down here, or if he, whatever it means to be doing b'shogeg, whatever that would mean. There's no such thing. He's not doing anything, so there's no way of doing it b'shogeg, and therefore there's no possibility of bringing a chatas.